Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, in to the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. And producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. Live, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Join Steve Taylor on Wednesdays. He does a very good job as well. Basically, the loaded show, the loaded hour, is the lunch hour. Grab your lunch. Come join us each and every day. All right, the show where we talk Husker sports, college football, and college sports as a whole. Today's show is freaking loaded. I got all sorts of random tidbits. All right, predictions for the college football weekend. Dana Holgorsen, honestly, if he didn't change the playbook at all, if he didn't do anything, and he just did this one thing a little bit better, I'm going to talk about it here shortly, Nebraska would have probably a 15% chance, higher, a 15% chance or higher odds-wise than they would have if he doesn't do this one thing of winning the game and beating USC. I'm going to talk about that. Also, Nebraska got some good news yesterday. Everyone's been kind of waiting on it. Four-star edge defender, Alabama commit, Dawson Merritt flips to the Huskers. He said, and I quote, "I want to be part of building something." I like that, end quote. I like that. Kind of a similar reason that Dylan Raiola came here, all right? And he went on and talked about multiple other things. But one thing he said on his X last night, that sounds his X, his Twitter, but it is called X. I didn't make up the name. On his X was he said, basically, we're not done yet. So that makes you wonder, are there potential flips? Other recruits he knows that haven't committed that are maybe coming, excuse me, the way of the good old Big Red? Some people may not know this, but Nebraska's coaches, Matt Rhule, was visiting five-star athlete Michael Terry last week. Some people kind of written him off. All right, and Jake, look him up real quick. His name escapes me. The number two player in the state of Nebraska, out of Omaha, tight end, committed to Florida State. I've talked about him like three times here.
Chase Lofton.
Yeah, there you go. Is he going to flip? A lot of people thought it would happen after UCLA. Maybe the outcome of the game impacted that. Maybe it just delayed the inevitable. Come join the Big Red, my friend. And hearkening back to yesterday, no, Florida State is not the best 1-9 team in the country. You don't get that, watch yesterday's show. So don't go join the 1-9 Seminoles. Come join your in-home state university brethren, Nebraska. And I got to admit, Jake, Dawson Merritt was committed to Alabama. So yeah, Matt Rhule just kind of gently smacked Kirby Smart upside the cheek right there and took one of his boys. But I got to admit, Jake, I had nightmares last night. Okay. Lendale White scoring all those touchdowns just haunted me yesterday. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Carriker trivia, that was one of the questions. He has the most all-time career rushing touchdowns at USC. Is that correct?
It was the single season, yeah.
Single
24
season.
24 in one season.
Single season. I did not pick him because, I don't know, Reggie Bush? Like, seriously? But, again, harken back to that national championship game, that Rose Bowl versus Texas. Fourth and short, game on the line. They gave the ball to White, not Bush. That's not an indictment on Bush. I guess it's a compliment to White. Anyways, I digress. I had nightmares about that. But my performance yesterday in Carriker's Trivia Challenge has only motivated me. The other thing it showed me is the only people out there who care less about USC football than me are USC Trojan fans themselves. Hi-oh, ladies and gentlemen. Let's light this candle. All right, I got a couple of thoughts for you. And let us dive into a bunch of topics. The first thought here, via Zig Ziglar, he said, and I quote, "If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every single time. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every single time. And then another quote. This is Bill Self, Kansas's head basketball coach, one of the best to ever do it. He said, and I quote, courage is not knowing where the finish line is and going as hard as you can anyways, end quote. Normally, motivational quotes are saved for Monday, but I feel like going into this USC game, and I've heard reports of a little bit of a different vibe than after the last bye week with the players at Nebraska. Now, it's all a bunch of hoopla and BS crap out the mouth unless we see it on the field, but I'm hearing reports that maybe there's a little bit of a different vibe and a positive direction than coming out of the last bye week. And it wasn't like it was negative out of the last bye week, but maybe they learned from it. And maybe they're a little bit more ready, a little bit more motivated than going into the UCLA game, and a little bit more prepared than the Indiana game. And maybe all I'm hearing is a bunch of crap. I guess we'll see tomorrow. But the people I'm hearing it from, I wouldn't say it if I didn't have a reason to believe them. But the proof is in the pudding. Action speaks so loudly, I can't hear anything you say. And ultimately, all that's going to matter is what we see at 3 p.m., starting at 3 p.m. Central Time tomorrow. All right. Let's see what else I got real quick. Harkening back to yesterday's show again. Apparently, it must be true. But the number one quarterback, who's been offered $10.5 million from Michigan, is going to turn it down. What are your thoughts on that, Jake?
Well, that's a lot of money to turn down. I'm assuming LSU must not be too far behind. If that's the case, I suppose we should get used to it, though. I think this is kind of where we are. We'll see with this new system of, you know, going in house if that changes thing. But there's always going to be a little bit of bidding war for teams that are desperate for a quarterback.
$10.5 million for a guy who doesn't have his high school diploma yet. Think about that. Just think about that. What if he doesn't work out? So I remember, and I forget his name, and we're not going to spend a lot of time in this, but there was a Florida quarterback commit about 2 years ago, promised millions of dollars. He wasn't getting the money. He either transferred from Florida or didn't go. I think he was there and transferred and left because he wasn't getting the payments. And it's just like, this is a crazy world we live in. And then it's kind of like, you don't know who to trust. You don't know what's real. You don't know what's not, because he apparently wasn't getting paid what he was promised. Just an insane world that we live in. Nick Saban, he said it's why he retired from coaching. Kids, and I'm not saying kids shouldn't be paid. My God, if I could go back in time, I'd love to be paid. You know how often I would turn on the NCAA college football video game and I'd see a guy 6'6", 295 from Kennewick, Washington that looked just like Ivan Drago, and I was wearing number 90 and I was supposed to pretend that guy wasn't me. Jake, that's not ASA 7. That wasn't ASA 8. That was ASA 9. It was crazy. And then I didn't even get the game for free. I had to go pay for the game, let alone not getting paid. I had to go pay for the game. I'm glad we have the game back now. Oh, one more thought on Dawson Merritt. 6'3", 215 pounds from Overland Park, Texas. All right. Again, committed to the Crimson Tide, now flipped to the good guys. He said, another quote he had, trusting that the Lord is guiding me down the right path, end quote. So he said this was about, he had to follow his heart, things of that nature, wanted to go help start something. So all I got to say is welcome to the Husker Brotherhood, my friend. All right. Here's one other thought. I think my wife actually sent me this one a couple days ago. Not to go in a completely different direction, but we've got 6 kids. Beautiful, wonderful kids. Almost all kids are just awesome. Don't you know that, Jake? Almost.
Yeah, most of them.
Almost, yeah. There you go. Yeah. All right. Kids today are like, so what did y'all do before the internet? Did you just not know anything? And the answer is yes. You would ask your Aunt Marge a question, she'd give you the wrong answer, and you'd carry that misinformation for 20 years. So much truth to that. And some people may not understand or get that, but there are things that I thought for a long time, and until the internet kind of became more of age, more of date, Google, you could go Google things. There were things that I was told as a kid that may not have been completely accurate, but I had no way of double-checking it. What were those? With encyclopedias. You could go look up encyclopedias in the library. Now you've got the Wikipedia online, which is about as trustworthy as... I'm not going to go too deep into who and what is not trustworthy, but do you know that anybody can go in and edit Wikipedia at any point in time? Like, so just Everything you read on the internet, ladies and gentlemen, is 100% true. Just know it's all true. It's all fact-based, and nothing's a lie out there. It's all true on the internet. All right. A couple other quick things, and then I want to dive into predictions for games this weekend, including Nebraska. Oh, and how could I forget to mention Ed Warder, a guy who has worked for ESPN for, I think he was almost 30 years. All right, but he's still covering the Cowboys. I actually coached his grandson in highly intense 8U rec baseball a couple years ago. Henry was a stud. All right, absolutely awesome. But Ed Warder is going to come join me. And we're going to actually, we haven't talked a lot of NFL yet. Okay. And when college football season inevitably ends, that's the next thing we're going to dive into. All right. But we're going to do something we don't do a lot of, at least during college football season, and talk some Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys are quote-unquote America's team, whatever. You're a Cowboy. So here's the deal. I hardly ever root for the favorite. Like the Yankees, if you've noticed, I'm not the biggest fan. The Lakers in basketball. I haven't talked about it much, but not a gigantic fan. The Cowboys.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
All right. Like, I never rooted for Hogan. I always liked Warrior. I never liked Austin. I liked The Rock or Goldberg. I always liked the guy trying to take down the guy, or the team's trying to beat the team. I grew up on a not-so-nice piece of town, town on the wrong side of that town, and so we were always the underdog. We were always overlooked. Right, it was always everyone else underestimating us. And so I kind of kept that mentality. Like when I say I walked on campus in Nebraska and I didn't have a chip on my shoulder, I had a whole forest on my shoulder. That was the truth. And I can outline someday why that was. There were certain folks in the media who said certain things that I didn't appreciate. Now I've grown up and matured just a little bit, but at the time it was, man, it was motivation for yours truly. All right, Jake, get some of those national college football games ready. In the meantime, let's look specifically at the main event of this Saturday, the main event of almost every Saturday, unless we got a Friday game or a bye week, the Nebraska game. Nebraska versus USC. All right, USC and Nebraska have combined for 16 national championships. The Trojans have 11, 5 by Nebraska. Each school has twice won back-to-back national titles. Nebraska 70-71, 94-95, SC 31-32, 03-04. All right, true freshman receiver Ja'Cory Barney is. I'm very curious to see what Holgorsen does and some of the things he does differently. And I'm going to get into one major thing. He can just do this better, and Nebraska's chances of winning the game will increase anywhere from 10 to 20% instantly without changing anything. Just do this better in the game. But one of the things schematically, I'm curious to see how he does. All right, Ja'Cory Barney, he's a one-on-one matchup nightmare. USC plays a lot of man-to-man. All right, but true freshman receiver Ja'Cory Barney has 38 receptions in 9 games this season. His two receptions, all right, he is just 2 receptions shy of Nebraska's record for the most catches by a true freshman, Wandale Robinson, at 40 in 2019. The overall freshman receptions record is 55 by J.D. Spielman in 2017. But I'm curious to see what he can do on Saturday versus the Trojans. All right. Nebraska senior punter Brian Buscini is averaging 46.4 yards per punt on the season. Buscini is challenging the Nebraska single season punting average record held by my former teammate, the only punter and or kicker I've ever seen to bench 315, Mr. Sam Cook, who averaged 46.51 yards on 71 punts in 2005. All right, let's compare Nebraska and USC head-to-head. Just a little bit. Oh, I came across this random thing earlier this week. Matt Rhule and Dana Holgorsen have the same agent. They are both athletes' first clients. And I don't know if that's a ginormous deal, but anybody I have the same agent as, you tend to get to know them more. You tend to see them more often at things because agents are setting up things. So you're going to tend to be at similar events. So I guarantee that has helped coordinate their relationship and just getting to know each other over the years. I actually, when I was going through the whole agent vetting process, which, by the way, I did not enjoy whatsoever in any way, shape, or form, but that's a story for another day. Athletes First was down to one of my three final agencies that I almost went with. I got nothing but positive things to say about them. You look at Nebraska specifically in this matchup. They're 111th in the country in yards per rush, 98th in America in rush yards per game. If we could just get, like, seriously, 10 to 20% more out of Dylan Raiola, like 10% week one versus USC, maybe 15% more out of Dylan Raiola versus Wisconsin, maybe 20% more out of Dylan Raiola versus Iowa. That would make a huge impact in Nebraska's offense and obviously the overall flow of the game and probably the overall end score of said games. But I honestly don't think it would be that hard. Could we just get him to play like he was playing early on in the season? How much, and I'm not indicting Dylan Raiola on this, but Jake, how much better do you think Dylan played the first month of the season versus the second month of the season? 5% better? 50% better? What percentage would you put on it? Because if we could just get him to do what he was doing a month ago, we'd be good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking back to, like, remember when he had two interceptions and Coach Rhule said they were great throws and everybody would agree? Remember,
it was more the receivers. It was like he just wasn't missing.
And now, you know, it just seems like he's, I would say, I mean, maybe 20%. I mean, it's been a big percentage.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
At one point, I remember talking about it. He had a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio because my goal for him this year was 60% or better completion percentage. And then 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. That was my goal the whole year. And he was 9 touchdowns, 3 INTs at one point, 3-to-1. And his completion percentage was, I think, 72%, okay? And the only guy who'd ever done that as a true freshman was Marcus Mariota, 2012. And the last Nebraska quarterback to do that was in 1980. I remember talking about all that stuff. So just go back to what was happening earlier in the year, which he obviously can do. And I agree with Jake. That's probably a 20% difference in play. Over the past month, I've said this before, so I'll go quickly. No touchdown passes, 5 INTs. Okay, so obviously a drastic difference there. But he's shown he can do it. And he obviously has more experience now. Simplify so he can be decisive. The offense can play fast, and we can be more efficient as a unit. I still haven't talked about the one thing Holgorsen can do. I'm getting to it. I'm building to it. It's not rocket science if you just think about it. Excuse me. USC, 98th in the FBS in pass yards per game allowed. Talking about their defense. 101st in the country in sacks. So I've actually got the stat here. They're not very good at getting after the quarterback at all. They only have 13 sacks on the whole season. So we should be able to protect Dylan. They like to play man-to-man. All right. A lot of things I already mentioned. They're giving up on average 22.2 points per game. That's 47th in the country. 371 yards, total yards allowed per game. Their pass defense is 98th in the country. There are yards to be had through the air. Rush yards per game, they're giving up on average 134 rush yards per game. And 20-plus yards per game, they're actually not half bad. They've given up 28 total on the season, which is tied for 29th in America. So, Jake, I'm going to do a little reverse character trivia on you. What do you think is the one thing that I believe Dana Holgorsen can do? And I've already said he doesn't have to change a stinking thing. Just do this better on game days. I just gave it away. I just 100% gave it away. Just do this one thing better on game days. It would make a huge difference for Nebraska. What do you think it is?
See, I'm still intrigued. I know we've been saying simplify for a long time, so that would be my first guess, but I'm not sure.
Play calling. Like, think about this one thing. Think about how crazy this is. And I pointed it out. 12 screenplays versus Ohio State. 12 versus Ohio State, 0 versus UCLA. Watch those two games. Okay. I talked yesterday about how a lot of teams are playing two-man safety. Everyone's man-to-man, two guys deep, so you can't beat them over the top. We're getting jammed at the line, so we can't do the one thing that two-man is susceptible to, which is short passes over the middle because we can't get off the press. We're not putting guys in motion. We're not putting them in bunch. They're just walking up to the line. They're getting jammed. They don't know how to get off the press.
And then you go to UCLA. My God, they were bringing the house. I pointed it out. Zero blitz. I said it during the game. Rule talked about it after the game. There were D tackles through the B gap. Then the linebackers were following. That's when you should call screenplays. So we're calling screenplays. Clearly, they were predetermined in a game that didn't make sense. 12. And then we called zero in a game where it made sense because there was some scrutiny and they were having a hard time dealing with that. I mean, keep in mind, they are human beings, but this is also your job. Simply play calling being improved. Calling the right play at the right time. That can easily make a 15 to 20% difference. Like, when they're running zero blitzes, an audible at the line, go fairly quickly, be decisive, don't give them time to get out of it, screen plays, keep them balanced. Then, if we're not blocking on the perimeter any better, you can mix in some other things. There are some timely things that you can do. Calling the right play at the right time. That in of itself, without changing a freaking thing, would make a huge difference. That can make anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20% worth of difference. Then you get Dylan to play a little better. I know these numbers, when you add them up, start to sound crazy. I don't think it's too crazy to think about. A guy just calling plays, the correct plays at the right time, can make a huge impact on the offense. The quarterback being more comfortable, being more decisive, making quicker decisions, feeling more confident, how he looked the first month of the season can make a huge impact. Does that make sense to you, Jake?
Oh, absolutely. And I remember they go after that Ohio State game. They said, well, the reason we're throwing so many screens is because that defensive line was just too dominant. We were worried about it. It was like, well, the cornerbacks were too dominant. Every time we were doing it, like, I don't know.
Because we're not blocking out there.
Yeah.
By the way, Ohio State, I mentioned this after the Buckeyes game, they have two defensive ends that are very likely to be first-round picks, but you know the weakness of their defense is actually their pass rush. If you actually watch them and look at the stats and break down their film just for 5 minutes like I did going into the game, it's actually their pass rush. So let's call screenplays. Anyways, improved and more timely play calling within the game. And then you just make little tweaks to the scheme. I said you don't have to. Just get Dylan more confident, more timely play calling, and if you want to, make little tweaks to the scheme. I think these things can be done. I really do. How much time we got left in this segment, Jake?
Well, we got Ed in the wings, so we better go pretty quickly. Yeah. Maybe a minute or two.
Why don't we go to break? We were supposed to bring Ed on 2 minutes ago, so let's call him. I apologize, Ed. And we will actually get back to the predictions in the last segment of the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.